All right, Kyle, well, thanks for joining us. We know that things are hopping busy for what you're doing. We're going to talk about the Kyle Korver Foundation in just a few minutes, but I wanted you to just share your story, your faith journey, and growing up in the church, and how that has shaped you now as you are currently in an MBA career.
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for having me. Growing up, I grew up in a very strong Christian home. My grandfather was a pastor of a pretty large church out in L.A., or actually in Paramount, right outside of L.A., and he had five sons, and three of them became pastors, and one of them was my dad, so I grew up, with a family full of preachers, and I was across the street from a church in the church parsonage. I learned how to play basketball in the church parking lot. I was different church programs, probably three different days out of the week. So I grew up, with a lot of Christian influences and really strong examples. And, kind of growing up, I kind of lived in the shadow of that, trying to kind of walk the line, because I felt like I was really supposed to, and I didn't want to embarrass my family. And it was good. It definitely helps keep you in line. I love basketball. Our family, plays a lot of basketball. My uncles and my dad, they all played Division III basketball. My mom played Division III basketball. So we grew up in, that's pretty much dinner conversation was, church and basketball. So it's kind of what I grew up in. As I got older, and tried to kind of grow in my faith, I kind of focused on rules quite a bit, trying to kind of walk the line. And, and then my whole goal was to make the MBA and pick the college where the best college I felt like would help me to get there. And, my story kind of coming back to really understanding, my own faith. I kind of lived my family's faith for quite a while, which was good, but it wasn't right. I never really owned my faith until I got to the MBA. I grew up with, trying to work hard and trying not to screw up. And I figured if I got to the MBA and I was a fairly decent person, I kind of made it in life. And I got to the MBA, I started playing a year. You make a little money, people ask for your autograph, things like that. And it feels, you think it'd feel pretty good. But I woke up one morning just, feeling sick in my stomach. And knowing that there was a whole lot more to life than this. And just kind of took one of a really long shower and was kind of pouring out my heart to God. And it was kind of at that moment where I realized, basketball, fame, money, just being a good person wasn't enough. And I was really missing out on the relationship part, aspect of being a Christian, which is the best part, And found a really good church out in Philly. My faith, became, much more personal from that point on. And, we're going to talk about the foundation, I had some great examples, my family is very, very servant-hearted. Growing up in Paramount, it was a really rough city. We grew up there during the riots. We were right in the middle of all that. I could see buildings burning down from my bedroom window. The city that we lived in, Paramount, was at one time ranked one of the worst cities, like top 10 worst cities in the whole country to live in, with a population of less than 40,000 people. Mm. And my dad started this program called Looking Good, and every Saturday the church from the city would kind of team up, and we'd paint over graffiti and plant trees and paint houses and just kind of give the city a facelift, people really caught on, and after several years, the city was just completely different. And that experience, getting up, in the morning on Saturdays, I'm 7 or 8 years old, and painting over graffiti, and then the next week seeing that it got graffiti again and painting over it again, that really planted a seed in my mind, being a Christian, that's kind of what it's all about. It's not just about preaching, the gospel, but kind of showing the gospel, And through the foundation, what we're doing now, and me and Clayton, my brother Clayton, what we're doing, that's just all we're really trying to do, is just kind of trying to show the love of Jesus,
Mm. That's good stuff. And as a fellow preacher's kid, I certainly appreciate growing up in that strong foundation. But there is that point where you have to kind of adopt your own faith and make sure it really is real. And I just want you to expound on that a little bit. Because it's we see so many young people, especially in our generation and a bit younger, that are walking away from the faith as they enter adulthood. And here you are trying to live your faith in the NBA where your schedule is nonstop, it's bright lights, big city, big money everywhere. What is your impression of the average NBA player? How do they perceive Christianity and the faith? I think that would be a very interesting thing for our leaders to hear from you. How are you perceived and others like you in the league?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of like, you know, everybody, like I meet a lot of guys who want to be like chaplains of NBA teams, and they feel like they're going to save, you know, a couple, you know, professional athletes, and then, you know, the stage that you have as an athlete is incredible. And,
right.
And everyone always wants to know, like, you know, have you gotten, you know, have you started Bible studies or have you, you know, whatever. And it's kind of a tough thing to do because, you know, a lot of these guys, and I'm kind of old for the NBA now. You know, I'm 29. I'm kind of getting up there a little bit.
Yeah,
and a lot
right.
of these kids, you know, that you kind of come from not a whole lot, and all of a sudden you have all this money and you have all this fame. And it's hard to tell, you know, a 21, 22 year old that there's more to life than what you got right now. You
right.
know, so I think, you know, you kind of got to learn for yourself in some ways, and you try to be an example, and you try to just live a life that's different. You know, when they're out going to the club or they're, you know, chasing girls or whatever. You know, just you know. Letting them see that you're not doing that, you know, and but without trying to act like you're better than them somehow, you know.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of, you know, I think, you know, Christians get a really bad rep, you know, especially in you know, the NBA was when you act like you are holier than thou, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, you know, what it's all about to me.
Yep.
My family has a philosophy that Christianity is caught and not taught.
Mm.
You know,
that's true.
So really. Yeah. Really just trying to kind of live a life that is different, and then, you know, let them see that light shining out of you and be like, you know, there's something about that guy, and you know, he's pleasant to be around, we laugh, I mean, whatever, he works hard, and you know, kind of let them see, and then when the time comes, when that seed has been planted, you know, be able to share a little bit more. And you know, that has happened, you know, for sure. I've had several teammates. Darren Williams, point guard on our team, got baptized this year, and it was really incredible. He's had a huge life change, you know. And I don't know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let me switch gears back to what you're doing. And you mentioned earlier about your dad and the church and how he got very actively involved in a rough city of Paramount and how that has shaped you. And it really has, because here you are, you're still an active NBA player, 29. Yes, you're getting to the top end of the league, but still a young man. And here you are working with your brother, and the Kyle Korver Foundation is doing some really great stuff on the ground and helping people. So I want you to just briefly tell us the type of things you guys are doing and how it happened. You know, what were some of the things that inspired you to get involved with helping out the way you are?
Yeah, well, the whole thing kind of started when I was here in Philly. Me and my roommate, we were driving to this church. It was kind of a long story. I don't know how long I got.
No, go ahead.
Shorter.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we were driving. We lived downtown in Philly, and we're driving to a church out in Westchester, and it was a night service. And you know, when there's an Eagles football game, like it takes hours to get out of the city, you know. And so, like, we're sitting there one day, and we're stuck in traffic, and it's like 100 degrees outside. It's, you know, late August or something, and. And we're like, why are we driving all the way to Westchester to go to church? We live downtown in one of the biggest cities in the world, and we're driving, you know, hours to go to church at night.
Right.
And so we started actually kicking around the idea of starting a church plant in Philadelphia and what that would look like. And obviously, we're not ready to lead a church or anything, but just trying to see if we could find somebody who was. Or,
yep.
And we really had no idea. We kind of ended up starting this little Bible study downtown in Philly, and The only place where we could meet was where was at this this little mission at 6th and Spring Garden, which is right in the middle of a pretty nasty projects area down in Philly. And so we started meeting, you know, our bunch of white kids down there, you know, meeting at this mission in the middle of the projects. And one of the first weeks we were down there, we're sitting there talking, and a bunch of neighborhood kids start, you know, throwing apples from the apple tree at us. And so we're kind of, you know, trying to be, you know, nice Christians and, it's funny, but, you know.
Yeah, right.
Like these little punks are throwing apples at us, you know.
Right.
But, like 2 weeks later, we went there, and before the Bible study, a few of the guys were kind of, you know, throwing a football around, and the kids are always looking for something to do, and they came running, and we started playing football with them, and they're talking trash, and we're talking some trash back, and we had a really good time, you know. And so the next week, we came an hour early on purpose to see if these kids would come back out again, and they did. And so we just started just coming early all the time. And the Bible study really grew, you know, and we started, you know, kind of starting our own little type of program type thing. It's just kind of, you know, basically playtime with these kids. But it was summertime then, and we knew winter was coming. And so, you know, obviously in the wintertime, Philly is cold, and you don't want to play football out in the parking lot. And so we figured out how to work with the mission, and we brought them inside and started, like, some little Bible studies and crafts and kind of things like that. And that was about the time when I was, you know, wanting to start a foundation of some kind, just from the examples that, you know, that I had been shown, you know, growing up. You know, service and giving back was a huge part of, you know, who I wanted to be. And this just kind of seemed like the right fit. It felt like God was just kind of, you know, working some things out. And so that was like 4 years ago, and we've met every Tuesday night down there for about 4 years. It's about, you know, 25 to 35 year olds that go down there every week, and we kind of, you know, mess around with the kids and do crafts, do a little Bible study. We've connected with the school. We put up a bunch of really nice basketball hoops, and you know, we go there and play with those, and kind of work with the school in a lot of ways. And then we have after school programs now, 5 days a week. We have tutoring sessions, you know, like craft times. Tuesday nights is kind of a younger kids night. Wednesday nights is a high school kids night. And, you know, really just trying to kind of show love in that community. And, you know, through, like, yeah, about 3 years into that, I get traded to Utah. And so, you know, we went there a couple years ago and met some, I got involved in a church down there and met some good people and tried to listen, you know, see if there was something that we could be doing down there at the foundation. And we met a guy who was a general contractor who was, you know, really good friend of ours. And his kind of dream job was to kind of just be able to go around to people's houses and just fix it up, you know, whatever that would look like. And and so we kind of started a construction company. It's called Sear Group. We've put up a bunch of handicap ramps this year, like probably 20 of them. We've re-roofed houses, put in new floors, kitchen and bathroom remodels, just kind of whatever's needed that's, you know, not too much over our heads. You know, we have a limit to what we can do, obviously. But then, as we step back and look at all these things cost a lot of money, you know, and, you know, we'd like the foundation, you know, to be able to run for a long time, and I don't know how many more years I get to play basketball. And so we've done a lot of fundraisers. We've tried to be creative with them. You know, we broke the Guinness Book of World Records for longest kickball game ever 1 year. We've done big dodgeball tournaments.
Now, how long was that? I got to know, how long was that kickball game?
Boy, well, the record was 24 before we went 24 hours straight.
Wow.
And so we go into this thing thinking this is a great idea, and it's going to be, you know, we can kind of have fun with it, and we're going to go like 30 hours, right? We're just going to smash this record is what was the plan.
Yeah.
We went 24 hours, and we were so tired, we played for 15 more minutes.
Exactly.
We went 24 hours and one more inning, which is like 15 minutes.
Any idea what the score was in that game? Well, I'm thinking of this Wimbledon match we all just witnessed. So do you have any idea what the score
exactly,
of that
exactly, right?
Yeah.
That was crazy. I watched the highlights of that yesterday. But we won, like, my team won.
Oh, that's important.
Like 163 to 87.
That's fantastic. Like, oh, wow. You smoked the other team.
Yeah. Kind of crushed them towards the end.
Yeah. Now, listen, so now I want to make sure we tell people that you can go to Kyle Korver, that's K-O-R-V-E-R, foundation.com to learn about all of these different projects. But you're also, one of the creative ways for raising money is you created a Seer clothing line, and you've partnered with Hurley, world-renowned brand. And this is a really great project. Talk just a little bit about Seer clothing.
Yeah, well, that was, this is kind of where I was trying to go. Like, you know, in order to kind of help fund all these projects, we tried to think of, you know, instead of doing fundraisers all the time, you know, what could we do to try to create kind of a steady flow of money coming in? And we developed this t-shirt company called Seer. A seer is a visionary or a prophet, like back in the Bible days, right? Like some mm-hmm. pictures or images for social change. So our images are our t-shirts, and the change is, you know, from the money we would raise. So some friends from Philly here, they started their own design company and helped do our websites and help create our t-shirts. And we have 16 shirts. We have 8 guys and 8 girls shirts. The shirts all have a theme to them. You know, we have 7 themes that hopefully, you know, through the things that our foundation is doing, we're promoting. So, like, the themes would be, you know, strength, courage, honor, faith, hope, love, peace, respect, and knowledge. And so we have 7 themes, and one just Seer branding shirt. So there's 16 shirts all together. And we're selling them online, www.seerclothing.com. And we're doing that. We met with Hurley last summer, and we were just kind of picking their brain on starting up a company, and they really liked our idea and offered to make our shirts for us. And so when you buy a shirt, you know, the money that I think they're $24.99, the money that obviously the shirt pays for itself, and the rest goes toward our foundation, son, and our causes. So we're not making any kind of money off this. It's just a way to kind of promote what we're doing. And we feel like we got some pretty cool looking shirts. And, you know, we're trying to kind of promote this a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So we want to talk about that. And, of course, we'll plug the website later on in this podcast. But, again, it's Seer Clothing. And you can check that out online, Google it, or you can find it on the KyleKorverFoundation.com's website. And I want to make sure that we reiterate this. You know, Kyle and his brother and all the folks that are helping out, they're involved in Philly, in Utah, where he's currently playing, and then also back in the Compton, South Central area, nearby where you grew up, working with your uncle's church, doing some amazing stuff in that area, too. And it's just a testament to the upbringing and example you saw early on in life. And I guess I want to ask you, and you may not know the answer to this, but do you have thoughts, a vision for 10 years, 15 years from now, how you'd like the foundation, what you'd like to see the foundation do, what would you want to do, what's in your heart and passion after basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we have all kinds of ideas. I mean, we've kind of tried to be, you know, creative with the different paths that we've gone. But at the same time, we kind of want to walk in the steps, you know, with whatever God has planned for us. So, you know, we're trying not to get ahead of ourselves too much. You know, kind of wherever I've lived or played, we tried to kind of do something there, just to kind of say, just to say thank you, really, is what it is. You know, it's all about saying thank you, you know, to God, obviously, for everything he's given us, to the communities, for how they've treated myself and my family. And you know, so I don't know where the future holds. You know, I don't know if I'll be back in Utah next year or not. Maybe it's a new city. If we go to a new city, you know, see who we meet, you know, and maybe, you know, try to find what, you know, their gifts are there and try to start something there. We don't really know. We got all kinds of ideas, you
right?
Know, but we want to kind of, you know, listen to see what we're supposed to be doing.
Sure. Let's switch gears and talk about sports. We've heard about your upbringing, but I'm always fascinated when talking with world-class athletes that play at the top levels to just strip back all the fame and all of the achievement and just find out what are some of the most important life lessons and character lessons that sport has taught you over the years.
Yeah, I mean, I always think that you know, basketball has taught me more about life than anything. You know, basketball has taught me how to work hard and, you know, dedication and teamwork and all that stuff, obviously. You know, I probably shouldn't say it, so I feel like I learned more about life and, you know, in basketball than I did at school, you know? Like, basketball is really really taught me a lot.
Sure.
I think, having goals and really going after them and trying to achieve them, to see God working. Like, when you have something big that you want to go after, and then when if you get close to it or you get it and you kind of step back and you see how God has just, worked, and it's really incredible, when I do that with basketball, I just see, that God has been in control the whole time. It's been really cool to see.
No, keep going.
I think, one of the biggest things that it's taught me is, no matter how strong that you think you are, no matter how deep you feel like your faith is rooted, the people that you surround yourself with are the people that you're going to become.
That's
like
good.
You surround yourself with people who, going out and doing whatever, it kind of chips away at you, and yep. Eventually you turn around and your standards have dropped or whatever it is, basketball's taken me a lot of different places, and I have a lot of friends in different areas, but when I look back and see what my friends were like in those different areas, that's kind of the path that life took me in. And so that's probably the biggest lesson I've learned,
Talk about one of the things I love to ask people who have reached a certain level of success, and being in the NBA is certainly that level, is failure. Because what people don't see is how Kyle Korver has had some brushes with failure or disappointment, however you want to term that. What has failure taught you, and how did you experience it and respond to it in your journey all the way to the highest level of basketball?
Yeah, that's often usually where, where God does his most work, is when you feel like you're not in control and you just messed the whole thing up, or you lost, or you failed, and that's where God kind of teaches you the most. And so I've had, plenty of bad games and missed big shots, and, basketball's taking you areas in life you probably didn't want to be. But that's where I kind of learned the most about myself, learned the most about what I want in life. When I had to really dig in, because when you fail, you got nothing. That's all you got is God, right? That's when you really dig in. And so, like one of your prayers is like, man, like, keep on teaching me while we win, right? Because I don't want to have to go through a terrible, a terrible season or a terrible experience to have to understand a certain concept that God is trying to teach me. But that's often what has to happen. And in sports, you play basketball, in the NBA we play 82 games in a season, and plus like 8 preseason games and then playoffs, and it's like an emotional roller coaster. You have a good game one day and you play the next day and you got a bad game, and there's media all over you. You play in Philadelphia and people are all over you. You only want to go to the gas station, everyone's calling you a bum.
Right.
We'll play some defense, you a bum. and like stuff like that is tough, and it really, helps you understand what's important and helps you lean on God that much more. And it's a tough lesson, but I feel like it's really helped me in life.
All right, well, Kyle, we're going to let you go here in a second, but you have had brushes with some great leaders, undoubtedly, in the church world and in all of your basketball experience, and we have a leadership audience. These are pastors, staffers that are trying to grow as leaders. So I have to ask, who are a couple leaders that you have had experience being led by that you admire the most?
Well, the biggest one is my dad. He's just led by example. He really has. He's a great speaker and things like that, and has a lot of wisdom. But it's just the way he handles himself. So many leaders. If you can speak well, fantastic. But if you're not backing it up with your actions, it doesn't really mean a whole lot to me. I watch these interviews on TV now with these athletes, and it's blah, 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 blah. I know what happens on the other side. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. I've watched him now for 29 years, and how he treats people when other people aren't looking, and just his heart, and how he treats my mom, and how he treats my family, and how he's really done an incredible job back in Pella, at that church. And that's been the biggest thing. For me, it's hard to lead by example, you know. It's so much easier just to kind of, you know, say what other people should do, but, you know, to do it yourself is tough. And so he's definitely the number one example that I have.
Mm, that's good. Well, Kyle, we sure do appreciate you taking time out of your busy summer. We know your off season is precious time, and on behalf of Catalyst, we appreciate your example. We're rooting for you, and we will pay attention to the Kyle Korver Foundation, and that website is kylekorverfoundation.com, and we want to be a friend and help you out, so please stay in touch with us, and let's see how we can promote the great things that you guys are doing over the long haul.
Great, man. Thank you very much.